If we are going to discern in this generation between illusion and reality, between what is real and what is not real, you have to ask yourself a question: how far are we, if we are, removed from the reality of the Christian life and the Christian walk?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Good day, everyone. It's great to have you joining us for Pastor Bill's series, The Good Book, from the New Testament Epistle of Romans. The Apostle Paul writes in chapter 13, verse 11, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." And verse 14 says, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." So let's join Pastor Bill now with today's message, "And do this."
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Let me read our text to you. Romans chapter 13, beginning in verse 11. Paul the Apostle says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust and strife and envy. But put on the Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." Paul starts off and he says, "And now do this." What does he mean? He means that after all that we've learned in the book of Romans, now that we have presented ourselves as a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which is our reasonable, our logical service, our worship, now that we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind and not being conformed to this lousy world, amen, not letting this world squeeze us into its way of thinking or into its mold, Paul says, "Listen, you have been transformed, and transformed living leads to something." So Paul says, "Listen, last week he said, we have a permanent debt one to another, we owe each other. We owe each other to love one another, amen? And to love our neighbor as ourself." We found that out in the verses we covered last week. But now Paul says, in light of everything we know, he's finishing up this incredible book called Romans. There's only a few chapters left. And I know that he is so moved in his heart because there is an urgency in the Greek language as he tells us these few verses we cover. It's just not a moderate urgency. It is a high, high, high urgency. Just because it was written 2,000 years ago doesn't mean that it is less urgent for this generation. Amen? Now, with all that being said, there's only one way that we can do anything for the Lord or walk the way that God wants us to walk, and that is by putting on, dressing up, if you will, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? With all that being said, let's look at what we're to do. Paul says, "And do this, knowing something." He says, "Knowing the time, that now," right this very second, "it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer when we first believed." It's very important that we understand our text. It says, "knowing the time." The word "time" there has nothing to do with the clock ticking or the minutes that are going by, okay? It is a specific time. It is a specific season. It's a set point in time of your life. He says, "Listen, you know what that time is." And it tells us what kind of time. Look at that. It's high time. That means right now, the hour that we are living in is very critical. Or you could put it this way, the way other translators have penned it. They said, "The hour has arrived," or "the hour has struck," for all Christians to do something. Paul's generation is gone. They're in heaven with the Lord. We're still here. We haven't gone home yet. Amen? That means there's still things that God wants us to do. And he says it is high time. It's critical. This very, very moment. This is a specific season. And may I say, I believe in my heart a specific word to this church this morning. It is high time that we awake, it says, out of sleep. Isn't that a strange way to put it? Awake out of sleep. Why did Paul say it that way? He is speaking of a condition that believers can get themselves into. He's speaking of a condition. It has nothing to do with spiritual sloth or spiritual laziness or anything like that. The word there, awake out of sleep, means this. It means that the believer, not every believer, but it could be you this morning, and this would be a word specifically to you then, is that we are to awake out of sleep. That means we are out cold. We are unconscious. We're not even responding. You know what I'm saying? We're just out. Have you ever seen a 16-year-old sleep? I mean, everything in the world, we could have a tornado, we could have anything. They're sleeping. It doesn't bother. That's what Paul is saying here. He says, listen, to be awake out of sleep means that a believer is so asleep, so unconscious, he is totally inactive to the things of God, the things of the Word of God, the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what he's talking about here. He uses the same word, awake out of sleep, that's found in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 29. Remember when Paul was preaching, and he preached way, way late into the night, and there was Eutychus up in the second floor or whatever, sitting in the window, and it says that he was, deep sleep was coming upon him, and he was like leaning over to the window this way, leaning back into the bedroom this way as he was listening to Paul. And then it says, he was then overcome by sleep. You know the story. What happened to Eutychus? He fell. He was dead. That don't fall asleep in this service. You see what I mean? Paul raised him from the dead, okay? But I don't have that gift, all right? So you're going to be in a lot of trouble. No. Listen, that's what it means. It means that believer, listen, Paul says, what's wrong? Wake up. Wake up. You can't be sleeping right now. It's not the season for anyone to sleep. You know, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:18, it says this, foolish dreamers live in a world of illusion. Wise realists plant their feet on the ground, meaning the rock, which is Christ. Now listen, if we are going to discern in this generation between illusion and reality, between what is real and what is not real, you have to ask yourself a question. I have to ask myself a question. How far are we, if we are, removed from the reality of the Christian life and the Christian walk? We have to ask ourselves that. Do we just come to church? I mean, you know what? We're going to have probably 1,000 people here for Easter, you know, because they show up Easter and Christmas. I'm not condemning that. Thank God I get to see them at least once a year, you know? But that's a sleepy Christian. We need to be connected and committed to a local body all the time. That's why J.B. Phillips, he translates this verse in verse 11. He says, I'm getting it right. It is time to wake up, he says, to reality. The reality of our times. How many churches are really praying today? Corporate prayer. Corporate prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven. That's corporate prayer. Coming together. How many of you, I say this in love, I'm just beating on you for a minute because I love you. Did you have a quiet time? Or did the Fort Worth Star-Telegram steal your time? Or did, the first service loves me. Now listen, Paul says, do this. The hour is critical. Oh, it is high time, right this very moment, a specific set time. He says, listen, to awake out of sleep. Why? Look at it now. For our salvation is what? Nearer than when we first believed. What in the world is Paul talking about when he says our salvation? Aren't we saved? Of course we are. So that means that Paul is not speaking about salvation in the sense that, meaning, are we not saved? He's saying, no, you're saved. But see, when he said that, remember that salvation, New Testament salvation comes in three tenses, okay? In other words, we have a salvation that is past. That's where we have been saved from the penalty of sin. Jesus paid our sin debt, amen? And then we have present salvation, where we're being saved by the power of another and by the intercessory prayer of our Lord, we're being saved from the power of sin. And then there's that future salvation, that tense future, meaning that we're saved from the very presence of sin, and there's no way to be saved from the presence of sin while we're still in this world. So what is Paul speaking of here when he used this word? Paul is speaking about our future glorification, the day that maybe we're caught up into the air. The moment we see him, we will be like him. Amen. In other words, when we're going to be in heaven forever and ever and ever and ever. So he says, listen, and do this. Do what? He says, wake up, man. And here's the reason. Your salvation is so close to you. It is so near to you. Right this minute, your future glorification. Can you imagine when that's going to finally happen? Where we are free from the presence of sin forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. We won't even know what the word sin means anymore. Amen? Oh, how that's going to be. Paul said, listen, as Paul said it, I say it. We now are closer to the return of Christ than any generation in the history of Christendom. Did you know that? There's not one thing to prevent our Lord from coming right now. That's why Paul says to them at that time and to us today, he says, listen, you've got to wake up. Don't be unconscious. This is not a time for that to happen at all. Listen, I don't know when the catching away of the church is going to occur. I don't know, and you don't know. No man knows the day. No man knows the hour. I read an article just yesterday. I sounded like Joel Osteen, didn't I? I read an article just yesterday, and you know, there's going to be the first time in 99 years, what's going to happen? Oh, gosh. Do you guys not keep up with current events? There's going to be, in the first time in 99 years, across America, a total eclipse of the sun. I've already booked my room in Montana to see it. Lord, I need grace this morning. Dealing with your sheep, you know what I mean? So I was reading that article, really is going to happen, and no, I didn't book a room in Montana, but I wouldn't mind. I'd love to see that. I mean, 90, you know, it doesn't really matter, but they're saying, now that right there is marking the return of Christ. And I'm saying, well, there's going to be signs in the heavens, there's no doubt about it, but you know, no man knows the day, and no man knows the hour, amen? But maybe they're right, I don't know. It doesn't say that in the Word of God. But what I do know is this, is that it's time to wake up because we don't really know. And the church is living. Now listen, I say this in love. It seems like the church is living like there's not a rapture to come. The church is living like there really wasn't any resurrection of our Lord. Listen, there's abundant proof to say it could be any day. Remember what Jesus told us in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew. He said this, and he said, listen, but as it was in the days of Noah, it says, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, they were giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Here it comes. And they did not know, even though that Noah preached to them for 120 years. He told them that, you know, the judgment was coming. He was building the ark. They did not know. You know why they didn't know? Because they were asleep. They were unconscious to the things of God. Let that not be said of this body of Christ here called Calvary Chapel. He says, oh, listen. He says, they didn't know until the flood came. And did it come suddenly? You better believe it. And it says, and it took them all away, took every person on earth away except for 8 people that were in the ark. So shall it be for the coming of the Son of Man. Man, listen, we don't know. We need to be watching. Jesus told us in Mark 13:35, he says, watch, or literally wake up. Be continuous expectancy. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, the crowing of the rooster, in the morning, lest he come suddenly, listen now, and find you sleeping. He's talking to Christians, and find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to everyone, Jesus said, watch. That is a warning. Just as Noah was prepared and expectant and watching, so must the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, let's look at verse 12 one more time, why we must wake up. It says, because the night is far spent, and the day, well, it's at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. The night is far spent. That means that it's almost past. It means that it's well advanced. It says that the day there, meaning it's almost dawn. You can barely see a little bit of light lightening up a little bit on the horizon. And then he uses that word, the day is at hand. The word hand there means, in the Greek, is imminent. In other words, expected. You know, it could happen at any time. We are to live in continual expectation of the catching away of the church. Amen? It really could be today. It really could be today. Now, with all that being said, this night that we've been in has been one of the longest nights ever, hasn't it? It has, since the time of Adam and Eve. Boy, one long, continuous night. Therefore, we're to do something. Look what he says. We are to cast off. That means to fling away. It literally means to disrobe yourselves, okay? Cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. The armor of light is the full armor of God, in which if you go study Ephesians 6, 11 and following, you'll find that each piece of the armor is our Lord and Savior. So when you put on the armor, you're putting on Christ, if you will. Now listen, we are not in darkness, are we? No. But you know, the Bible tells us that in Ephesians 5, 8, it says, for you were once, past tense, not anymore, for you were once in darkness. You were once in darkness. Think about that for a moment. You know, he goes on and he says in Ephesians 5, 8, he says, but now you are light of the Lord. He says, walk as children of the light. You know, it didn't say that you were walking in darkness or any of that, or once darkness. It means you were literally darkness. I was too. I didn't know I was in darkness or literally darkness. I didn't know I was dead in trespasses and sins. I had no idea. I was lost. I didn't know the things of God. Matter of fact, didn't care about the things of God. I just cared about trying to make it in this life and be a good person, whatever I was needed supposed to be. But no, I was in darkness. If you're here this morning, you listening live, listen to me. I love you. God loves you. But if you're not born from above, if you're not saved, if you haven't trusted Christ, I can only tell you the truth. You're darkness. You're surrounded by darkness. And darkness is a horrible thing. You see, the Bible says that the whole world, the humanity of this world, they are sitting in darkness. They're groping in darkness. They're trying to find their way out. But the Bible says the light has come, meaning our Lord, the light has come. But men love darkness more than the light, lest their deeds be exposed. That's what light does. It exposes that. Listen, we have been delivered, haven't we, from darkness. Colossians 13, he, meaning our Lord, our Savior, it says he has, that's a past tense event, he has delivered us, rescued us, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, from the power of darkness, translated us or conveyed us over into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Now listen, darkness has power. Darkness has all kinds of power, loved one. Not only that, it didn't say that we were delivered from the kingdom of darkness in Colossians 1:13. It says we were delivered from the power of darkness. And here's the problem with darkness. You see, the strength of darkness is this, the darkness of this world, is darkness is ever changing. God never changes. His word never changes. But Satan is ever changing. Amen? Let me give you the only description of the wicked one in the New Testament where it says in 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says, Paul says, and no wonder, Satan himself transforms himself or masquerades or disguises himself and turns himself into, here it comes, an angel of light. Think of that. See, he's so wicked, but he knows how to disguise himself. He knows how to disguise darkness. He knows how to fool and deceive mankind. Listen, when he showed up for the first time on this planet in the Garden of Eden, was he disguised? Yes. What did he come as? A snake, a serpent. Listen, hiding there in the tree, looking through the leaves, you know, and so forth at Eve, speaking to her. Listen, he is a deceiver. He was successful on his first mission. I don't want him to be successful with you or successful with me. You see, Satan makes darkness light, or to appear as light. That's why so many people follow the cults and so forth. Now listen, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, for us to have no fellowship, don't participate in, don't associate with it, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. All sin is darkness, and the only fruit that darkness can produce is death. Nothing else. That's its only fruit. And the best way for you and me to expose the darkness is to manifest ourselves by who we truly are, by who we really are. Jesus told us in Matthew 5:14, remember, there he is. He's on the Sermon on the Mount. He's out there speaking to all the people. And he says to these people, the farmers and the peasants and the no kings, no priests, they weren't out there, just people like you and me. He says, you are the light of the world. In the Greek, it would read this way, you and only you are the light of the world. Think about that. The most insignificant people on earth, that's us. Come on. He says, listen, you are the only light to those who have no light. That's what you're called to do, is to be the light of the world. Amen? Are you shining? Are you letting the Lord shine through you so we can glorify our God, which is in heaven? That's what we're to do. You know, the Bible goes on. If you read all of Ephesians, you know what it says? It would say, Christian, listen, wake up. Awake, you sleepy Christian. Wake up. He's not speaking to those that are dead. He's speaking to not in the grave, those that are here now. No, how do we cast off darkness, the works of darkness? Well, the Bible, first of all, it tells us, Jesus told us in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have what? The light of life. Now listen to me. You, if you're not following Jesus, it's going to be very difficult to have the light. You see, those who follow him have the light. Those who are not following him and name the name of the Lord, listen, I'm sorry, but you know what? There may be some dark days in your life because you're not following him. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep. There's that word again. It says, as other people sleep, but let us watch and be sober. In other words, sleeping, that indifference, that apathy, that spiritual deadness. When a person is asleep, again, he is totally oblivious of the things that are around him. Amen? Boy, and I didn't sleep well last night. I wish I had been oblivious to all the things that were around me. There's nothing better than a good night's sleep. Amen? Now, with all that being said, what is Paul telling us there of scripture from Thessalonians? He says, believer, listen, don't hang out with sleepy Christians. Love them. They're your brother. They're your sister. Don't do that, though. He says, I want you to put on the armor of light. I want you to put on, that word means put on the weapons of light. Again, you do so whenever you put on the full armor of God, because we're the Lord's soldiers. Now, look at this again in verse 13. What are we to do? To do this, let us walk decently, or let us walk properly as in the day, meaning like people who are the light of the world, not in reveille, which is that, you know, a wild partying and orgies and all the rest of that, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, strife, envy. Isn't it amazing that lust, strife, envy is put on the same level as drunkenness? Interesting, isn't it? Now listen, you have the right way to walk and you have the wrong way to walk there. He tells us to walk the right way. And then in verse 14, this is the verse that should capture our hearts this morning. This is how everything is done in the Christian life. It says, but put on, that means literally clothe yourself, put on the Lord. Put on the Lord. He is our master. Amen.
Unfortunately, we're out of time for this broadcast, but please tune in tomorrow when Pastor Bill will conclude today's message. And we want to thank you for listening to Love Never Fails. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app.
Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.